You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Josephine Halverson. Josephine, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thanks for having me, Brainerd.
Josephine, let's talk about what's happening. I mean, we could talk about a recent show, of course, also at ICA, but I'd love to know what's happening in your studio at the moment. What are you involved with? And if it's multiple things, just tell me all of them.
Well, right now I'm sitting in my studio in Boston. I teach at Boston University, and I have a studio that looks over Commonwealth Avenue towards Cambridge, over the Charles River. And in my studio right now, I have a body of work that I'm finishing. These are paintings which are made with gouache, which is an opaque watercolor. And they were paintings that I made on site of the ground in throughout Massachusetts and New England, actually. And lots of pebbles and sticks, bricks, rocks, kind of found detritus on the ground, which I've painted in gouache on site. And then I brought them back to the studio, and they're in frames, and the frames are flush with the paintings. They're asymmetrical and contain site material that I found in the locations where I made the paintings. And so I've distributed that material in a kind of wet, homemade kind of ground, which I've sanded down to be flush, kind of like a countertop or a concrete floor that might get polished and reveal the aggregate. And then once I've done that, I've been silk screening some. Or making kinds of other notational marks on these frames that have to do with orienting them to the place in which they were made, kind of like the legend of a map or the key or something like that.
But much more abstract than that, right? I mean, you're talking about the frame and making this type of frame as having this relationship to the painting, but that's also, I mean, it's aesthetic, it's in terms of form and color, but you're talking about a relationship to where it actually came from, which is pretty abstract, or no?
The viewer wouldn't necessarily know. It is abstract in the sense that it's not pictorial, I guess. But the kind of sprinkling of rocks and like kind of literal material embedded in that kind of surface around the painting has I think one could tell that it's real, that it's not it's not depicted with paint. So like a pebble that gets kind of crushed and ground down and put into this and sanded and exposed is it's the literal piece of granite that I kind of came upon and put in my pocket.
And that you may very well have also painted in the gouache painting within that frame, correct?
Exactly. And so there's a kind of relationship between the literal and the represented or imagined or perceived, the subjective and the objective. The kind of evidence and trace, and these are all my interests as a painter of how do you translate experience into painting, lived experience, real timeness. A lot of interest that I think photography actually deals with, perhaps more than painting.
And let's talk about that a little more, experience, because part of what strikes me about the series, some of which we're talking about, is that you're painting these on site, right? Like the way you see painters doing these kind of plein air paintings, right? They're outside, they have their easel set up, and they're painting the landscape. Only you're looking down at the ground, and you're taking these kind of sections of the ground that they look almost entirely abstract, though once you know it's ground, we see what it is, but not where. But it's also a way of looking, right? A way of, you said living, but kind of everything is looking down. You know, that's a very specific kind of vantage point, a specific gaze, if you will, right? I mean, that seems very intentional, absolutely. As opposed to this kind of landscape, looking up, sky, all that stuff. There's no sky ground here at all.
That's right. There's no horizon, and it is very much in the tradition of plein air painting, I suppose, in the sense that it's outside with color and a surface. And I think it also has to do with, one can say the kind of tripod of the easel is not unlike a tripod for a camera, but instead of the kind of room of the box of the camera where something gets kind of more, translated kind of mechanically, there is a kind of transmission of this object through my own kind of eyes and body that comes out through my hand in a very felt way. Of course, there's always the technology of the paint, but it's a witnessing, a kind of recording of something so minor and so boring. I mean, the ground is really not that interesting.
It's what people specifically overlook, especially ground where there's broken concrete and rubble and garbage. It's specifically overlooked, right? I mean,
we actually give
attention to not looking at that part of the earth almost.
Yeah, it's as if we're trained really to not look down. I mean, I guess as bipedal creatures, we're really just kind of moving past it. And painting, I'm a still life painter, I think would be the tradition I feel most connected to. And in that sense, it is the still thing. It's like to not move, to not walk past it, but to stay and to look and spend some time with something in a still contemplative way. But it has to take place on site in the sense that I couldn't really make up this stuff myself, even just the shape of a plant leaf or a pebble is so specific. And I try to really show that and kind of draw it, with my brush. And there's something, there's something slow in it, and the kind of opposite of walking past.
Yeah, kind of different kind of observing. And so in the studio now, what you're working on is more in that series, in that vein, and these are from the Boston area. It's work that's similar to what was in the ICA that we're talking about this year.
That's right. And these are slightly different in that they have the frames, which I originally was thinking of as margins, actually, the kind of marginalia or the, like I was saying about a map, almost like a legend, is a broader area. So in that space, I've been putting some kind of graphics and drawn elements. Like, for instance, and by the way, I've been doing that primarily through screen printing. So I've drawn something exposed to screen and then I'm printing through it directly onto the frame. So, for instance, in one of them I have the compass of, pointing northwards. So I can see what orientation I was in when I was, when I was kind of facing the ground. I have a ruler to indicate the kind of measurement or scale of the, of what it was I was looking at. I have another one with coins. I did a kind of coin toss of quarters and dimes and nickels and pennies across the surface, which are to scale, that show the kind of scale of, again, what I'm looking at. So one which is a painting of some spray painted marks. I actually used the spray paint on this kind of margin. So again, a kind of almost like an area for infographics or information that can calibrate, the painting to the wall in a way, or like orient us in relation to this. Not unlike a map. And it's very hybrid. You know, these are my work has not been like this before in the sense that it's been in a kind of traditional correspondence between the rectangle of the painting with even like a rectangular object, like a window or a door.
Well, also the making of the frame and its relationship to the painting isn't in the still life tradition, right? I mean, the painting may be in that, but the making of the frame and its relationship, I mean, that's really a sculptural project, but it's also so closely linked to the painting that it makes the painting something else. I think because of the approach, right? That's a completely different element that then changes how the viewer does see the painting, because the artist made this frame as well, right?
Exactly, and it is. They're also serial. They're the same format. I guess the 10 that I have here in my studio that I'm looking at, they all are the interior painting is 22 by 24 inches, and then the frame, the marginal kind of frame around it, is 42 by 32 inches. So it is. So it has this, you know, broader area on the bottom of the frame where these kind of graphics are going, and all throughout is the site material all around the frame, scattered like stars in the sky. But the seriality of these has something to do with point making as well. I feel like there's, you know, they are very hybrid. They're meant, you know, the painting is of course the central thing, but they're buttressed by the sculptural and print making quality, and then, of course, you know, in this method of framing, you know, there's something photographic about them too. So it's maybe the most hybrid kind of work I've ever made. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, it's so interesting. That is so interesting. And so that's primarily what's happening now. Are you also involved in any other projects? You've done, you know, writing in the past as well. Is there anything else that you want to mention in relationship to your practice at the moment?
Yeah, well, you know, if I turn my chair around in the back of the studio, I have wrapped up right now because I've got to finish this work before I can move this onto the walls. But I made a bunch of paintings this past summer in New Mexico. I was the first artist in residence at the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And I spent August in O'Keeffe's Ghost Ranch House, which is just north of the town of Abiquiu.
Wow, that's so cool.
It's very cool. She summered there from 1929 until her death in, I think, 1986 or somewhere around
yeah.
there. And so 50-some-odd years that she was... she spent time in this house, and it's not open to the public. It was very special to be there. She's an artist who's been important to me, to so many people, over the years, and is someone I look to. And it was complicated, you know, being there and very inspiring, very interesting. And I made a number of paintings of some of the objects in her house, like in a very traditional kind of still life way. Keys, all of her keys that unlocked her suitcases and, you know, other boxes and houses and things like that. Her dishes. I did paint some of the skulls that she had collected, and a plant that was growing outside the house as well. So that's work that I am, once I finish these paintings, I'll be moving those more onto the walls.
Wow, I'm so glad you mentioned that. That's incredible. That sounds like an amazing experience. I mean, not just in her house, but it as a residency, but it sounds like the place wasn't kind of turned into a, you know, kind of white-walled museum house. Her things are there. Her ghost, you know, so to speak, is completely there, right?
Yeah, one day this summer, exactly, and one day this summer I was sitting in this, it's a U-shaped adobe house, and I was sitting there there are these tree stumps. I also painted one of those wide tree stumps, maybe 2 feet wide, as a kind of individual bench, really. I was sitting there eating lunch and totally alone, and it was very windy, and you could see the storms coming over the desert. It was very beautiful. And in front of me was this mountain that's called Pedernal, and it has this flat top. It's a mesa. And I was looking at it and thinking, I wonder where Georgia O'Keeffe's remains are. I hadn't really thought about that, and yet so much of my experience there was the memory of her, and as you say, the kind of ghost or spirit of her. And later that night, I was having dinner with the curator, and he told me, no, her remains are scattered on the top of Pedernal, which was so strange to be just gazing out at that mountain, wondering that, not knowing that indeed that's where she ended up. It was a very powerful experience in that landscape, and considering, what it means to be a painter and make work in relation to a particular place, the ethics of tourism and living in different kinds of landscapes that in this case were, Native American, primarily for a long time, and her connection to that community, what she did as an artist, and the way in which her work has actually brought so many people there now to understand the cultures and landscapes that kind of convene in this very particular region. It was I learned a lot. It was a very powerful experience.
Sounds incredible. I'm so glad you shared that. Yeah. And you'll have that work will be shown? Is that what you're going to say?
That work will be, exactly, thanks. Yeah, the work will be exhibited in Santa Fe in the fall of 2020 alongside her paintings in the museum. So I'm looking forward to that.
Wonderful. I am as well. And I want to ask you one more question, which is, what are you reading at the moment?
I'm reading Ninth Street Women, which came out, I guess, earlier this year, and by Mary Gabriel, and that is a big chronicle. I think a lot of people have been reading that who are interested in painting, and especially in a kind of New York context, and that's been really interesting. And in particular, actually, I picked it up because it actually picks up where, not where Georgia O'Keeffe left off, but, she left New York in the late 20s to move out to New Mexico, and that's exactly when the book begins, Ninth Street Women, but stays in New York. And in terms of what it means to be a woman and what it means to be a painter, it's been a very natural, actually, continuation of that experience I had, really being immersed in all things Georgia O'Keeffe in the summer. So it's kind of brought me back east and has led me from the 20s, through the mid-20th century.
That's so interesting. I'm reading that as well. I want to thank you so much for talking with me today. It's really been a pleasure.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Brainerd.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.